Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Wenda.
I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Praise Yah, Saints of the Most High. Hopefully we are connected here this wonderful Shabbat. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How's my family doing? Here we are, the few gathered again as we come upon the evening. Praise Yah. Oh, hallelujah. Good word today, very good nourishing word, very good direction, my heart's delighted in a good matter, in an indicted good matter concerning what was spoken today, learning more about the heart of Yah. That's good. Yah will, continue, lead and guide us into truth, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Oh, hallelujah. I pray all is well with my family this evening. Hope all of y'all are resting, have entered into rest. That's for a lot of people, this is a new thing, for those coming into this, Rest is good. Rest is awesome. Rest is a blessing. Praise Yah. Praise Yah, Saints of the Most High Yah. We thank Yah always for being mindful of us, especially in the time and the hour we're in, because, this thing is amping up pretty severe. As we see the day quickly approaching. But it must be so. It must be so, Saints of the Most High Yah. It must be so. Those of us in the know, we're glad that the King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Well, bless you, Saints. Glad to be here again. In the administration of a teacher again tonight. Again, as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews here. We made our way. Been a while in the book of Hebrews. Made our way to chapter 5 now. We're almost halfway through it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And before the show come on, I was looking still at chapter 4. Still amazed at that what was, you know, put in there concerning entering into his rest. You know, it's just about every blog talk now that I had to bring that to remembrance, which is good. Understanding the many facets of entering into rest and how the Most High Yah, especially in the book of Hebrews, would have this, you know, within the pages. Within the pages. And within our hearts, as it should be entering in. So I don't want none of us to follow after the same example of unbelief. And we have many examples of unbelief written before us. We have seen many examples of unbelief transpire before us. It's a sad thing. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. They're not allowing this word, as Pastor said, wash them. Word has become a rock of stumbling, a stone of offense, as people that do not want to deal with themselves. They rather deal with others according to the despisement that is in themselves. They rather, you know, take that energy of that bitterness, that energy of that jealousy, that envy, whatever it may be, and inflict it on others. Instead of taking that same energy, bowing down for a mighty Elohim, you know, submerging themselves in blood, humbling themselves with the same fervor, with the same energy as they would with the bitterness and the backbiting and the tailbearing, and get this sin, this disdain out of their being. Sad, over the years I've watched many, you know, in their unbelief, in their doubt, in their hatred, and in their bitterness, and the depths of this stuff that is in them, how, you know, the strength they would lash at others. If they only would just turn. If they only would just hear. If they only would just believe that there's an Elohim that loves. That he is trustworthy. That he is the one that they need to go to. That the blood is there for cleansing. That the Son is not there for despising and rejecting. He came to his own and his own received him not. And he's already dealt with rejection. And I see many people go away. The very thing that they were needing in their life, they squandered it. They walked away from it. Because they cannot hear the voice of the shepherd. And we know who that shepherd is. Here we as servants of Yah, many of us, in different facets of our walk, got different levels of maturity in this thing. I just pray that your endure hardness as a good soldier, that you would actually start understanding the mind of Yah. We get so caught up into seeing ourselves as we would see ourselves. But we would not dare see ourselves according to the way that Yah sees us. And many get offended at when Yah shows the way he sees every one of us. Not knowing that this vision is there in a motivation of love to get you out of that transgression. Out of that error, out of that evil way, out of that wicked way. Would we, perchance, for a time, get into his word and really see ourselves for as Yah sees us. Well, we're good on ourselves for condemning ourselves and hating ourselves and backbiting and be better at ourselves. But perchance, if you could just kill that person, render that person dead, render that as the old man, and take on the mind of Christ and start looking and start seeing the perspective with which Yah sees you, because he clearly puts it forth in his word. His word to us has always been a message of love. It's always been a message of gathering. It's always been a message of healing, of setting the captives free. But I see so many don't want to hear that message. But they rather hear the message of a condemning flesh in their own being, a condemning Hasatan, condemning devils that are peddling their own wicked natures and their own vile thoughts onto another vessel. Now, these spirit beings, you know, they have no power in themselves unless we give them a body to host themselves in. If we perchance would go a whoring and let them have intercourse with our mind and with our flesh. Sad thing in this hour. And I know many of us have spent oil trying to help others see, but knowing in the long run it was not giving them to see. Even this is immaturity. But I pray that the few that of us that are still in this war, that we remain. That we would have in our hearts and our minds that without him we can do nothing. That we'd have the testimony that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. That whatever weapon it is formed, it shall not prosper against us. You know, that is the mind of Yah. That is, you know, the sanctuary, the pavilion, the fortress that he, you know, has erected, has constructed for his family, for his children. Saints of the Most High, in a time and an hour, as the days get closer and closer, I think that should impel us or afford us to cleave to him more and more with a greater grip of love, because we need him. The days are growing darker. The days are becoming more evil. And the only one that can lead us on this path is a high priest. As we learned in last blog talk and previous blog talks, a creator that come down and put himself in his own creation. That this expression of love, we can be a lifetime learning and being compelled to understand it. Now, this is a great, great, magnificent, royal affair going on here. As we see the Most High Yah, you know, betrothed to a woman, and how he's making a place for her in the betrothal period, how he has already laid out the garments for her to wear. This Elohim already has, you know, in his mind and in his heart how to beautify his bride. And how, you know, I've seen through the years how many people, how many say that they are the children of God, do not want to be beautified. But we need to look at ourselves as he sees us. Put off this damn shit of the old man, this damn condemning self. You know, we have ways of looking at ourselves that we don't approve ourselves of. And we know that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And we look at every aspect of this. But still in all this, this should not be a condemnation to keep us out of the love of God, to keep us out of his promises, to keep us out of, you know, the pleasure that he's desiring us to enter into. See, he wants us to enter into his rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath and appointed a seventh day, it has greater implications that even at this time and this state in my walk, I still yet to learn to understand. But as time goes on and as maturity would have its place, I'm understanding more and more about this rest. And I praise Yah for it. And I know you do too, those that are actually able to embrace rest at your station in life, at your station in this walk. Because we need rest. You know, we look out there in that world, we look out there in all that pagan, there's no rest for the wicked. They don't consist. Their mind is gone. It just shattered. And we can see. I mean, we can continually talk and talk and talk about all the facets of those that are. This is about us, though. This is about us. Let's pick up, saints of the Most High, all those that are gathered here. Hebrews chapter 5. I see, again, there is a faithful remnant in the room tonight, and I'm thankful. I just pray, you know, I'm able to minister to you what the Spirit ministers to me, you know, as I meditate. And I was fellowshipping with a brother today, and we was talking about the realm of meditation and the importance of it, you know, how, you know, to start out a day, you know, just looking at this thing simply, to taking, you know, just one verse, head off the day and then take the whole day, you know, just meditating on that verse and all that was within that verse, and then asking the Holy Spirit to, you know, to minister unto you about that certain verse. As we can get so caught up, you know, into trying to get these things in our head and then wondering why, where's the retaining of it? All of a sudden, you know, I put all this effort and all this energy to try to remember this, try to remember that. And then I find myself, you know, not able to retain, you know, that which I'm desiring to learn. Then it could come to my mind, you know, how many of us actually meditate on the word? Just taking one verse and taking, you know, the whole day, wherever you may be at work, doing what you're doing and still having this in your mind and your heart and fellowshipping with that verse, with you in the spirit as you work at what you're doing, and then let it minister to you. And, you know, if you take a whole day considering, you know, this very thing that you had your mind and your heart into, just think, you know, how that would mesh with your being, how that would be something that would not soon be forgotten. And I got this from David. You know, I was reading the Psalms. Many times I know he brought up meditate. Meditated on his law day and night. And I say, that's where he got the understanding. That's where, you know, that this was able to minister to him. You know, me as being a teacher and some of the elders here, you know, it's good for us to meditate because, you know, what we meditate on and what we have fellowship with, I think this is a good thing, you know, that you know, as we, you know, partake of this, that we when we come with our brothers and sisters, we can gather around together and partake of this same meal together. I know, I think it's a good fellowship because there's nothing, you know, really outside of our lives now that means nothing more and should not supersede Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Because this is the thing that's getting us home. This is the core of our being now. when we was yet in the flesh, serving diverse temptations, desires of the flesh, and whatever it may be, that was not the core of our being. But as a new creature in Christ, yes, this is the core of our being. And I think day by day, as I'm able to, you know, to meditate on His Word and to keep my mind stayed on Him, you know, whatever may be going on at my job site here and there, you know, that stuff don't affect me because my mind, and I'm training my mind, you know, day by day by doing this to keep it on Him. I mean, I like staying in the safe zone. I like staying in the safe haven. Because I mean, me, myself, I work at a place where, you know, visually, at times, there are some things that would tempt the eye. That would tempt the flesh. And there are some things that would tempt anger. There were some things that would tempt disgust, tempt sorrow. I mean, just in the situations that, you know, through the workday, you know, I'd rather have my mind on other things than having my mind and my mind's eye clouded by these natural things that are going on within the place I work. Hallelujah. 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 But I thank God that He is leading and guiding us and teaching us every day. And He should be, saints of the Most High God. And everything that we do, and everything that befalls us, and everything that happens, you know, we need to look to the Most High God in this and really retrospect and say, you know, sometimes at the end of the day or while it's going on, what is this teaching me? How did I react? You know, how did I handle this? Did I handle it right? Did I have the word in my bag to instruct me and lead me and guide me to handle it right? Did I perform righteously the way I should have performed? Or did I get angry, or did I fall off the handle, or did I get in the flesh, or whatever? And all these things, you know, they could be there, you know, to bring on self-condemnation. But I look at it and use it as a point of not digressing or going backwards, but something to launch me forward. Something, you know, to build me up, to make me stronger. And that's the way we should think in this walk. That the things, the trials, the tribulations, the sorrows, the sufferings, we use these as tools of strength. Because we never know that later on a brother and a sister might need help in this area. And if we have not been exercised in the very same thing, how could we minister? How could we give the sacrifice of ourselves to bring that brother our sister out of the fire? How could we bring forth a word of escape, a word of deliverance, if we have not ourselves have partaken of the very same things? And I've seen a lot of brothers and sisters over the year, you know, reject going through this fire, reject going through this place of temptation and this place of hurt and this place of sorrow and the place of being wrong and having to be corrected. You know, rebuke at any time, it is grievous. It don't feel good. It will give you a ticket, give your flesh a ticket to get upset, to lash back at the messenger, to walk out and depart from something that you should be walking toward instead of walking away from. We need to look at this thing always in a spirit of love. And we should always be coming to one another in the spirit of love. And throw down this damn suspicion that we have with one another. Are we suspicious of the Most High God? Are we suspicious of Yeshua HaMashiach? When we are suspicious, that's what we basically saying. We don't trust in Yah. We don't trust in this. We don't trust in that because we're bringing shit. We're bringing crap from our old relations, from our old man, from our old lifestyle into this walk. It can't happen. It's not going to mesh. It's not good judgment. It's not the way to weigh the matters. It's a bunch of crap. Reckon yourself dead. We've got to get into that mindset. I, daily have to let myself know I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. And I know a lot of you hear me say this over and over and over and over again, but it may be helping someone, maybe strengthening someone. Someone may be needing to hear this. Because I know in myself, you know, in me going under and being baptized in this, that I know how much is it a help to me. So I want my brother and my sister out of that snare, out of that pit, out of whatever is holding them back. We are helpers one to another in this family. Yeah, we come from families that did not want to help one another, but now you are in a family that wants to help you, and we want to help one another, and there's no way you should resist this and reject it because of your former family. That's not this family. You need to reckon it in your hearts and in your minds that you are in the family of Yah, that this crap does not go on in the family of Yah. We may have church families and church relations that went sour, and we want to bring that same experience over in this. And when you compare yourselves among yourselves, this is not wisdom. This is not wisdom. You need to trust Yah and stand in the power of His might. We are walking too many days in the power of our might and wondering why we've been defeated on every point of an aspect of our. We're defeated in our finances. We're defeated in our health because we don't want to hear from Him. We don't want to walk in His life where we think we got a life. We don't want to understand that our life now is hid with Christ in Yah, as the Word says. Oh, I love, like, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't read His Word. Oh, I talk to Him every day as I'm driving here and I'm driving there, but I've not prayed to Him one day. We really need to start learning to love one another. Learn love through the vehicle of Yeshua, not the vehicle of yourself. We don't know in ourselves, don't know how to love. If we knew how to love, then these relationships that went sour would still be strong. But that is in the past. We've got our hands on the plow, and we are told to hold on. Keep your hands on that plow and plow forward. Praise Yah, saints of the Most High Yah. My administration as a teacher is here, and we all have a ministry. I mean, not one of us is without significance in the body. Because your flesh and your mind and your logic and your intellects, well, I don't know what I am in the body, what I am in the family. Just be giving thanks first that you're in the family. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. We think we can be the super saint right off the bat. No, this is a gradual process. This is a growing process. Maturing takes place over time. I've never seen someone plant a seed and then the next day come out and see a full plant already full of fruit. Now, there was a time period where the plant had to grow up, weather storms, weather this, weather heat, weather bugs, and a lot of its enemies. But an end result was its objective was to bear fruit. And then you see that plant didn't keep the fruit to itself. No, that plant freely gave up the fruit to whoever was harvesting it. It lived all its life, all its time, and all its energy and all its effort was there to produce that fruit. And then once it produced that fruit, its job was done. It dieth, it go back to the earth. Well, praise Yah. Let's get back in the book of Hebrews. Yeah, there's quite a few tangents going on tonight. Praise Yah. But it's all leading up to what we're getting into here in Hebrews chapter 5. And the first verse, I'm reading out of the King James Version, and I'm going to read out of the Lamsa Aramaic translation called the Meshitta. But Hebrews 5:1, you know, as we continue on in this study, you know, we're still going to go back and visit a lot of what we had learned before, because we need to understand to read in this manner. Because you've seen Pastor Day, he's always iterating. This is a good thing. Even though you see one verse up there on the little, on the screen, on the back wall, he always tells you to go before, read before, and read after, so you get a full understanding. And my imploration to you is, as you read, drop the verses. Don't let them be a point of division for your understanding. You know, just read, you know, it in full thought and full understanding. It'll help you out big time. But it says, for every high priest, taken from among men, notice that, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to Yah. Why? That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So the verse is saying here that the purpose of this taking, this high priest from among men, notice where these men are being taken from. These men are being chosen from. And the reason why they're being chosen from, they're ordained for certain matters. We, saints of the Most High, have been ordained for certain matters in the body. And we've got testimony within the Word. None of us is without insignificance. I mean, all of us have a part in this. All of us have a place in the body. We're talking here in the book of Hebrews, trying to get a clear understanding of what the Hebrew family is. Because in the book of Hebrews, you know, the realm of rest is really being expounded on, especially toward the family of Hebrews. As we read, you know, the entering into rest that the Most High implicated from the beginning, then we see the children of Israel, our Hebrew brothers and sisters, and what went on before us. Rest was shown unto them on the seventh day, as well as it was from creation. Notice that this rest is only for a certain family, a certain group of individuals, of people. This is a family. This is a family, say, heading, Hebrews, the Hebrew family. We got a lot of camps out there that call themselves Hebrew Israelites. And we see that there is no family union, no family understanding among, no family love among them. And you see so many testimonies that, you know, this Hebrew family that the Most High is graciously putting together, they have a testimony, this is different. Y'all have something that they don't have. And, you know, I sit back and meditate on that, and I say, yeah, that is amazing. That is truly amazing. And you saints of the Most High God, you are to be grateful. Fall down on your knees and lay prostrate before Most High God, that He is able and He has given you this capacity to be part of this. It's nothing about a mystery. This is talking about the family of God. It's talking about being true Hebrews, being of His family, of His lineage, of His seed. What we see here in Hebrews 5:1 about every high priest taken from among men, and we see that these men are being pulled from among men in things pertaining to Yah. and he's pulled from among men and things pertaining to Yah, and these things that are pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. These things pertained to Yah. He was ordained for this matter to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And this ordination here, it's got a unique word. The Greek word 2525, I got it right, yeah. And I'm pulling this from the Thayer Dictionary. To set, place, put. To set one over a thing in charge of it. To point one to administer an office. To set down as, constitute, declare, show to be. To constitute, to render, to make, cause to be. To conduct or bring to a certain place, to show or exhibit oneself, or to come forward as. Amazing thing, this high priest that was taken from among men. And the vehicle was in things pertaining to Yah. The Yah did this taking these high priests from among men to offer both sacrifices, gifts and sacrifices for sins for men. Notice that. That's about over in the book of Leviticus, I think it is, chapter 21, concerning this men taken from among men. And things pertaining to Yah to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Leviticus 21 and 10. And it says, he that is the high priest among his brethren. Listen at this. And he that is the high priest among his brethren. Take it, I mean. And he that is the high priest among his brethren. Upon whose head the anointing oil was poured. And that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. Said, neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Said, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his Elohim. For the crown of the anointing oil of his Elohim is upon him. I am Yahweh thy Elohim. I am the master. So these high priests, taken from among men, is ordained. They are set. They are put in charge for men. And things pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And you can read all through the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the many, 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 many orders of administration, orders of gifts and sacrifices for sins that the priest had to do, especially the high priest. If you get time, I implore you to go and look into this. Because what we read in Leviticus, Numbers, Leviticus, Exodus, or whatever, you know, concerning the building up of bringing the priesthood in, we see this as a foreshadow of what was to come. And as the book of Hebrews is here, it is building us up to that foreshadow. It's bringing us to the shadow. And as we read on, we're going to get to the very image. And here we are as the family of Yah. Amazing thing. We've been called to be conformed to his image. It's amazing thing that this HaSatan, though, wanted to be like the Most High Yah. But he used his own vehicle. He used his own mind. He used his own heart to be like the Most High Yah. Unique thing going on there. Unique thing going on there. And the Most High Yah in this time and this hour is calling us to be conformed to his image, that we might be like the Most High Yah, that we might be like Yeshua HaMashiach, conformed to his image. But you see the vehicle that is going on here. We're not doing it under our own power, under our own might. We're not doing it through a vehicle of pride. We're not doing it through a vehicle of jealousy or envy. But we're humbling ourselves and letting the Creator create in us a clean heart and renewing in us a right spirit, so that when he sees us, he will see himself and he will be pleased. And if we really want to know him as he knows us, we will let this cleansing, we will let this washing, we will let this grinding, whatever what needs to take place, the fire, happen in us, that we can learn more of him, that we can know more of him. And the more we know of him, the more we can be like him. Beautiful thing going on. There's a beautiful communication. There's a beautiful affair going on here. How the bridegroom is preparing his bride. And you know, and he has a desire. And there is a time where we are going to become one. There's going to be a time of consummation, where the bridegroom and his bride are going to go to and shut the door. And it's going to be a beautiful time. But the bride must make herself ready. And how is the bride making herself ready? Well, one thing is washing by water of the word. Getting oil in the lamps. Is that word we got to get in our lamps? We got the word we got to get in our bag. We got to get ready for that nighttime that is coming. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. And I recall, back in Hebrews chapter 2, you know, in the parallel to this, we see, you know, we just read a little bit and just discussed a little bit of, you know, the priesthood from the worldly sanctuary. And now, you know, we're getting ready to transpose into a heavenly sanctuary. Whereas the time, you know, there was that tabernacle in the wilderness. And now here we are, you know, in this time, as we are the tabernacle, we are the temple of Yah. He's walking and talking in us. He's dwelling in us. There's a lot of things to reflect on, saints of the Most High. As you know, we go back and forth looking at shadows, looking at image. And as you know, we have been progressing in the study. Goes back in my mind, went back and I wrote the note here about Hebrews 2:17 about Yeshua, our high priest. And things, you know, pertaining to Yah. Hebrews 2:17, you know, and how this echoes and how this is such a beautiful relationship being formed here between us and him. If we allow it to be performed, if we would just love him, if we desire to be loved by him, because he had a great love for us. And you know, and I'm thinking of this love, you know, him being a high priest, and as we learn that this is the Creator come down and lived in his creation. And my mind was meditating on Hebrews 2:17. Says, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Now, I mean, this behooving, I'm like, behoove. And I think it was his love toward us. Because it is reported, you know, that he sees the children which Yah hath given him. And he seen the children who all their lifetime were in bondage to death, or they're in fear of this bondage to death. And he saw our plight. And he saw our plea. He saw our need. And come down here and put on a robe of flesh like us so that he could provide our needs. You think of Creator abandoning, you know, and coming down here and living among his creation for us. Not thinking of himself. But in many instances, he was thinking of himself when he was thinking of us. Just as the word says, love your neighbor as thyself. And you know, that could not be of no strength unless Yeshua HaMashiach would show, had showed how he loved his neighbor as himself. So wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Notice that word brethren. And then, you know, in that word brethren, I can put right beside it, I can underline it and give it a definition and call it one of the definition, Hebrews. Hebrews are brethren. Because we're reading out of the book of Hebrews. We're reading out a book written to the Hebrews. We got a book written to, you know, those at Philippi and those at Colossae, those at Galatia. Now we got a very profound book written to the Hebrews. We got all the books written to those that were scattered abroad, and then we got a book written to those that were scattered abroad, but talking to them as a whole. So there were Hebrews at Galatia, Hebrews at Corinth, Hebrews at Colossae. So we're reading an epistle to us, the family of Yah, the brethren of Yah. Because he called us the brethren. And look here in the verses, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You know, this move of compassion that he had. Why would an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving being would come down and humble himself to our state? As the record said, he made him a little lower than the angels. And it didn't bother him to be made a little lower than the angels. As you see, Brother J.C. was asked, does this bother you that you bow down before me? And he said, no, he has honor in his heart. That's why we bow down before Most High, because we honor him. We're not giving no praise and no worship to man as we bow down to one another. We're not prideful of one another. But we should be bowing down to one another in some shape or form. Because even as I minister tonight, I have to get out of myself. I have to bow down to my brothers and sisters that are on the other side of this mic and whatever party area you may be and minister this word as it has been ministered to me. Because I love my brothers and my sisters. And as I have overcome, I want my brothers and sisters to overcome. If I am called to be a king and a priest, then I've got to learn from the high priest. And how am I going to learn from the high priest unless I get in his word, read his word, meditate on his word, let the word become flesh, let this word manifest itself in this body, in my being, so that I could see it clearly and then manifest it, you know, animate it, that I really know I now have fellowship with it, that now I am an able minister of the Most High God to help my brother and sister in it. But if I didn't baptize myself in it, and then if I didn't really was overcome and if I didn't become part of it, and like we read before, how could we be kings and priests? How could he become such a faithful and high priest if he didn't come down and suffer as we suffer, yet without sin? You know, he was encompassed with every temptation, all the temptations that ever could be in one's life, he witnessed it. He felt it. He experienced it. Yet without sin. And what was that power to keep him from sinning? His love for us. He saw that we had a need. He always has looked beyond our faults and seen our needs. And we need to look at ourselves in this new man. You know, we can look at all of our faults and downgrade and browbeat ourselves. But in our weaknesses and in our infirmities, are we going to let this thing keep us out of the love of Yah? Are they going to let this thing separate us from the love of Yah? Are we going to let them be a strength to get us closer to Him? Let them, you know, empower our hands to cleave to Him more and more and more and more as this evil day approaches. Because we can see the darkness, the gross darkness is encompassing this earth, I mean, exponentially. We have no one else to cleave to. We can't cleave to our own damn flesh because it's going back to the dust where it come from. And at any time, I'm not cleaved the dust and be able to hold on very much of it. And the reason why I minister with passion, because I am starting to understand His passion more and more and more. The only way that, you know, I can really praise and worship and adore Him, because, you know, the praise and worship and adoration that He has in Himself toward the Father. He said He's going to come in the midst of the brethren and declare His name. And, you know, and we got to declare His name in our praise, in our worship, in our adoration. We've got to get out of our damn flesh. We, you know, thinking, you know, I'm going to sit here and have a quiet praise. No, you know, it's amazing. It's something. So grand. The more I think of it, it's hard for me to contain. I know a lot of you can. You've had experience in this matter. Some of it brings us to tears, drops us to the floor. And we're not in tears because, you know, of some kind of condemnation. We're in tears because of the grandness of His love and His grace towards us. But in wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Why? That He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yah. Notice we read that starting off in chapter 5, talking about the high priest taken from among men. And there was a pattern that they had to minister in. And you think Yeshua HaMashiach was going to get out of that pattern that He ordained from the beginning, that He showed the Levites? This behooving, just thinking of the word of behooving. I repeated to His disciples, as the account of Luke, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. You know, be killed and rise again the third day. It behooved Him. I'm like, man, what measure of love has He enjoined to us? I mean, you know, having a crown of thorns put upon your brow, spat upon, beard plucked out. No telling what went on, what other kind of abuses went on that are not written. And to have, you know, nails driven through your body. Just think of His suffering, you know, the what helped Him endure the suffering. That love He had for us pushed Him and compelled him and strengthened him unto the very end, like if you hear me saying it over, to all the sins were put upon him and were put upon that body that was on the tree. And it was the grand climax of being behooved in all things. You know, the feel, you know, the culmination and the summit of all temptation put on him all at once while still in pain and agony upon a tree. And to hold on to the very end, whereas, you know, any mortal being would have died at the flogging. But he held on. He had a course to take. He was taken. He did this. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, to suffer all these things to provide an escape for us. And I'm like, mercy. All his, you know, all we were, all our lifetime is subject and bondage and fear. And him being a merciful and faithful and mighty Elohim, looking down on our needs. And then coming down and say, okay, I'm going to provide the way of escape. I am going to show them my salvation. I have desire to marry them. And we see, you know, through Israel and Judah, how treacherously that wife dealt with him. He showed his love numerous, through many vehicles, through many manners. And they rejected him. And he showed his love by putting them in captivity, that their minds and their hearts would be turned back to him because of the captivity. But in all, they didn't think the captivity was an act of love. It was an act of this. It was a behooving on his part to keep, you know, his beloved with him. We are his beloved. And to then come down here and then put on the same body that he created, and to suffer rejection, come to his own, and his own received him not. This same Christ that in us should be behooving us each and every day to help one another, to see one another's needs, that whatever trials and tribulations and pains and sufferings that we're in, that we're desiring to triumph over them. And we are overcomers, just as he has overcome. We draw strength from his overcoming. We cannot draw strength from anything that we have overcome. The only way that we have overcome is by him, through him, and because of him. Because without him, we can do nothing. And it behooved him to come down here and to make this highway hold, to make this path, to clear this road that through the ages all of a sudden was overturned and blocked. Where the high priest had to go through many veils, two veils, just to get into the presence of God. He had to go through all this ceremonial washing thing, cleansings, and all these diverse, you know, workings. Well, we had this one high priest, by the sacrifice himself, did all that for us. And we want to despise him. Is he going to come to his own, and his own receive him not? After we get an account of his behooving, after we read an account of his intimacy with us, how intimate he wants to be with us. We've got the account that they would have been on this down on him. Crucify him! Crucify him! The thing is, does any of us, if we were hearing those words, what kind of spiritual war would we be dealing with? While he was in the garden praying, he had the greatest battle against his flesh. Death was there. He was staring eye to eye with death. His flesh, I know, was talking to him 100,000 decibels. But you see, the struggle that he had in that garden, he had to come to the conclusion, and we've got to come to the conclusion that everything that we do is not my will. He had to come to the own declaration that he made up in glory. I come to do thy will, O Yah, because I know in the volume of the book it is written to me. I am the word manifested in flesh. I need not to go out of the boundaries that made me, that made my brethren. I made these worlds. And this is my bride. This is my betrothed. I and the children which Yah has given me. So wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Made like. Yeah, Moses, I prepared a body, and he said, oh, I delight to do thy will, O Yah. Delight to do his will. Okay, remember the Sabbath day. I don't know to do that. I don't know if I can do that. Honor thy father. Well, or, you know, my father and my mother. They didn't know. We read the law. We understand this as the will of Yah. The will of Yah. The will of Yah. The fulfilling of the law of Christ. Love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, sorrow, whatever, all your being. And the second like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. What's the will of Yah? Hey, Christ, concerning me. Love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Wherefore, in all things behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yah. Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. But we read earlier, for every high priest from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. But we read Hebrews 2:17, wherefore, talking about the high priest again, wherefore in all things behooved him be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And we go on, and then Hebrews 5:2 says, who can have compassion? Who can have compassion? Talking about these men taken from men, ordained for this, just as Yeshua, you know, it behooved him to do this ordaining. And because of this vehicle being called of Yah, called to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, goes on and say in Hebrews 5:2, who can have compassion on the ignorance of that? Compassion. 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 On the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Notice two things. The only vehicle of compassion that this priest could have would be on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Why? Why can he have compassion? Why would he desire to express mercy? Why? As it said in the end of verse 2, for yet he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now let me read you the verses 1 and 2 out of the Aramaic. It says, for every high priest chosen from among men is ordained on behalf of men about things pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Verse 2, it says, he is one who can humble himself and have compassion on those who are ignorant and go astray. Why? For he himself also is subject to weakness. These infirmities. How many of us are walking in this hour with infirmities that we have not dealt with? Weaknesses that we have not dealt with. Weaknesses that we should be dealing with. Weaknesses to this very hour, minute, and second are still holding us back from the love of Yah and from loving one another. Do we take these weaknesses, these infirmities, and use them as a ticket of opting out, of opting, you know, to do certain, what's the word I can use? Certain things for one another. What are these things hindering us to keep us from loving one another? What thing in us keeps us from helping our brother and our sister? The things that the Most High Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach, have caused us to triumph over in it. Are we taking our triumphs and then all that experience, everything we was compassed about, everything that we learned how to overcome, are we now dispensing that very thing to help another? If we are to be helpers one to another, we will do this thing. We will go this way. We will walk in this manner. We'll take on death. We'll take on jealousy. We'll take on envy. We'll take on everything these things have brought us into bondage to fear of death all of our lifetime. We should desire to overcome them. These things we got to get out of our lives so that we can get closer to Yah. That we can be knit together in love as a family. Just as these priests were called. Just as we are called. You know, we should have compassion on one another. Hebrews should have compassion on one another. You know, if so be the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. But it's amazing that Yeshua HaMashiach would have compassion on us when we were ignorant. And any time that we are ignorant, and any time that we are out of the way, you know, this compassion that Yeshua has, he had compassion going into this. And I know when he come out of this, when he said it is finished, that compassion was to the zenith. When he said it is finished. When he was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sins. I think, you know, him experiencing this very thing that it behooved him, this qualified him to be the high priest of high priests. And we can learn from this example. We can learn from this example. This compassion. Again, in Thayer's dictionary, definition, Greek word 3356. To be affected moderately or in due measure. To preserve moderation in the passions, especially anger or grief, of one who is not unduly disturbed by the errors, faults, sins of others, but bears them gently. all of us, we have committed a lot of sins, a lot of transgressions. But a lot of us, you know, we have fallen on our knees and we have tasted of the mercy of Yah. And we see our brothers and sisters in weakness. We should have the same compassion that was bestowed upon us. The same compassion that was bestowed upon that man that had that slave that owed him a great debt. And that slave, you know, fell down on his knee crying, oh, my wife, my children, you know, have compassion on me. I can't pay it. You know, crying, you know, all his being. And then, you know, the master's heart was moved and forgave him of all his debt. But this same slave, this same servant, had a servant himself that owed him quite a bit. And then that same servant, you know, that servant that owed that servant quite a bit besought him to forgive him of the debt. But now that servant said, no, you know, did he really receive the compassion of his master? Because if he really received that compassion, that mercy of his master, he would let his own fellow servant go free and be forgiven of the debt as he was forgiven of the debt. And a lot of these people don't understand this spiritually. They received a great, great, great manifestation of mercy in their lives. But they can't forgive their brother and their sister. And then you see them tormented by the tormentors. They can't get over this disease, can't get over this infirmity, can't get over this weakness. They didn't really receive of the compassion. They didn't really receive of the mercy of Yah. But we have received. Freely you have been given, you freely give. And as of much is given, much is required. But I don't know if I want to do it. That requires me to do something of myself. Well, get out of your damn self. That's the biggest thing that is hindering a lot of us, is this God of self, where self is limiting you. You've got the greater one in you. He said, yeah, you said all these works that you will do, but greater works than these will you do. But many of us don't want to love. Well, they might not receive me, and this, and the flesh is telling me that, and my mind is telling me that, and self is telling me that. The hell with self. Render that booger dead. The hell with him. But put that thing was on the cross. We've got to have a change of mind. We've got to really get this mind conformed. We got to be conformed to his image. Well, how do we be conformed to his image? Get your face in the book and learn of his will. And learn his image. His image is not hard to find in this book. His image is from cover to cover. And we have received great love. And we have the ability to dispense this love. Well, what if some don't receive it? Then go on. Then Yeshua come to his own, and his own received it. Did he deal with rejection on a higher level than we would ever deal with it? Yes, he did, but yet he dealt with it without sin. He used it as a premise to become stronger. It still behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It still behooved him to make it all the way to the tree. It behooved him to endure the plucking and the spitting and the jeering and the false witnesses. Love, you know, he was so involved in compassion, so involved in love for us that he endured this tree, endured this impalement. D- is compassion. Think in Mark 6:34, listen to this. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. And how, what brought this compassion on Jesus as he saw much people? Because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jude 1:20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It says, keep yourselves. Notice that there was a comma there. That's one thing. These verses, it's just, praise y'all, you understand my stay-at-home verses. I still like, ah. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of Yah. How are we going to keep ourselves? How is our building up ourselves in the most holy faith? We're praying in the Holy Spirit. And in the word, cease not praying. Well, we continually need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. This will build ourselves up on our most holy faith. And it will keep yourselves in. Keep yourself in the love of Yah. Looking for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some who have built up themselves on their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping themselves in the love of Yah, looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion. Just see how this brings on this compassion. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of Yah, looking for the mercy of our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This, you know, builds this compassion. This should bring us into a state of compassion. And some of us having compassion, this makes a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Why? Because we ourselves have been encompassed with the same weaknesses, with the same infirmities. And because we deal with these weaknesses and deal with it, we go to the one who's behooved to be made like his brother. Hey, the one who has the way of escape, so that we can learn the way of escape, so that we can dispense what is dispensed to us, to dispense those who the ignorant and them that are out of the way, hating that garment spotted by the flesh. So we have this fear of loving Yah, reverencing Yah, because we have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. And we hate even this garment spotted by the flesh. Why do we hate it? Because we ourselves are encompassed with this weakness. We know this booger called the flesh. Hallelujah. 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 Praise y'all, saints. Going on. 1 Peter 2:9, this is remind us, but ye are a chosen generation. For every man, for every high priest taken from among men, and we are priests, and we have been taken from among men, as men in general, mankind, we have been chosen. We are the chosen generation. We are the Hebrews. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Ye this to us. Do we confess this every day? I'm part of the chosen generation. Hi, I am part of the royal priesthood. Hi, I am a holy nation. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It says a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are now in his light. And we should not be like the Hasatan who was in his light, but all of a sudden, say, looking upon his own brightness, saying, ah, I am emanating this light. And wanted to be like the Most High Ah, what was cast out. And for all eternity, he will never, never have the privilege of being like the Most High. We have this great entrance of grace. He has called us out of darkness into his. It's his marvelous light. That light really shone bright when that body was put upon that cross and that body died. And then that releasing of Yeshua to go down into the lower parts of the earth to take the keys of hell and death away from this devil and take captivity captive and to send up on heaven and to give us evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers. Apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers. When he ascended up on high to bring us into a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He has called us in the light, and if we are in the light, we should see this. Again, this is reverberated in Revelation 1 and 5. It says, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and he is the faithful witness because he come down here, behooved him to be made like he's witnessed everything that we have witnessed in this flesh, yet without sin. So that he qualified himself to be the great high priest to make both gifts and sacrifices for these sins. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look at this behooving. Look at this compassion. To wash us in his own blood. And it goes on, and hath made us kings and priests unto Yah after washing us and cleaning us. He is a faithful witness to behold, I am the children which Yah hath given me. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And hath made us kings and priests unto Yah and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This compassion that should be in us, that should be constantly in the body of the Hebrews. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which have been encompassed in the same manner, you got to be, this is nothing that can be done in the flesh, but ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Notice, humble, humble, humble. Meekness, meekness, meekness. Compassion, compassion, compassion on them that are ignorant and are out of the way. But brethren, if a man, and that can be this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in this spirit of meekness, considering thyself. And that's the only way that you can restore if you have considered yourself being in the same overtaking and a fault. But have you at any time seen your brother and sister overtaken in a fault, and you yourself have been encompassed with that fault, but you have gotten victory over it? And if you've gotten victory over it, you know the one who had compassion on you. You know the one who had mercy on you. You know the blood which cleansed you from that unrighteousness, which you, when you were out of the way, when you were ignorantly, brought you back into communion with the Father. Now that you've seen this compassion, now you have compassion yourself to dispense. So they take that compassion which you have gotten from him, because without him we can do nothing. You got to take. He is the giver. We are the dispenser. We are the vessels. And he has molded each and every one to pour certain things into each and every one of us to administer as he pleases. Not as I please. This is not for me. This is for him, and this is for you. This is, you know, this time and this hour, it is still a behooving on his behalf. If we would allow it to be all the admonishing and the rebuke and the reproof. Many of them have left here not seeing this as a vehicle of his love, as a vehicle of his behooving, as an extension of him drawing you closer. If you would just hear the words of love and embrace them and fall on your knees, put down your damn pride, put down your damn dignity, and come and walk in his life. Because that's what he wants you to do, to see his life, to be part of his life. He didn't do all this in vain that you would walk in your own life. This is my life. It's no longer. Ye are dead. Ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in Yah. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. But we have a lot of affections on things of the earth. We have a 2,000-pound anchor holding us to this earth. I don't know if I can help my brother and my sister because I'm so damn earthly minded. I'm so damn selfish. How long have you spent with Yahweh? Have you prayed to him? Have you fasted? Have you read his word? Have you got something in your bag when your brother comes to you and he is poor and needy and hungry? Are you going to think of him, or are you just putting stuff in your own bag for yourself? Are you got an extra stuff in your bag knowing that you got a brother and a sister coming down the pipe that might have need of nourishment? Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice that. Lest thou also be tempted with that of being overtaken in a fault. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he goes on and says, Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up with serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Back in Hebrews again, verse 3, and by reason hereof he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And in the Aramaic it says, because of these, he is obliged, just as he offers sacrifices for the people, likewise to offer for himself on account of his own sins. Again, the first of the three passages that we went over here, the thought for every high priest chosen from among men is ordained on behalf of men about things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is one who can humble himself and have compassion on those who are ignorant and go astray. For he himself also is subject to weaknesses. Because of these, he is obliged, just as he offers sacrifices for the people, likewise to offer for himself on account of his own sins. And in verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but only he who is called of Yah, as was Aaron. So also Christ did not glorify himself by becoming a high priest, but he glorified him who said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Well, praise Yah, saints of the Most High Yah. We are the begotten people of Yah. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Let us meditate on all that was ministered today by Pastor, and then another ministration by this teacher. And then again tomorrow, I know that your blessed, your loving brother, Elder Donnie, will be on. And it behooves him to minister unto you. You know, as he's been ministered unto, and as he has received light, as he has received love, and he's received this joy, and he's received this excitement of his Savior, he is going, you know, he's going to communicate this with you. And his desire, just as my desire, is you to receive it. Is you to receive it. And all this receiving that you might, you know, look unto your Most High Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and give him thanks and give him glory, that your mind will be on him, that you will let him work in you such in a mighty, wonderful way, that you will look to him for all your needs, because he shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. This is help here, you here to be conformed to his image, as you desire to be the image, in the image of his dear son. This is all for us. Just as the song says, we win. We win. We win. We have not lost. Our Redeemer did not lose. He hung upon the tree. He triumphed all in it. He triumphed over them in it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. As he has overcome this world. And because he has overcome this world, even so we also can overcome this world. This promise is unto you and to all your children throughout all the generations, because he has poured his spirit in us. We are his children. We are the chosen generation. We are the holy nation. We are the Hebrews. Why? Because we carry a title? No. Because we exude and our conversation is of his image, of his love. As we have seen what he has done, we have seen what he has done for us, and we have witnessed what he's done for us, so we do it for one another. And that the world may know that we are his disciples. Why? Because of the love we have one to another. This is the different thing that the people are seeing out there. All these Hebrew camps they can't see the discipleship of them camps because they don't have love one for another. But they see love here. And we're going to guard this love. And you should guard this love with each and every one of you that you fellowship. You hang on and you cleave that love, because that was given to you of the Father. And you hold on to that like a precious jewel. Put that in your hat, in your diadem, a royal diadem. That's part of your garments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are family. We are Hebrews. And we're learning to be a family. So we praise the Most High Yah for that. Saints of the Most High Yah, I thank you. Thank you, Brother Paul, again, for posting scriptures. You are a good fellow helper. All my brothers and sisters in here, let us pray for one another. Know that, you know, the infirmities that we are compassed about, well, let this steer your prayers. Because we all deal with fears. We all deal with many things. If we don't pray for one another, how can we strengthen one another? We've got to be healed. We've got to go to the healer for that balm. And we've got, you know, it does no good to receive the healing balm and not give it to another. As it was freely given to us, you freely give. Should be in your heart. You should be moved with compassion. Thank you all, saints of the Most High God. Bless you all. Again, you know, here's a word of comfort. The King is coming.